Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
It never disappoints. You hear it from me every single year because it is true every single year. Nothing ever lives up to the hype except March Madness, which always lives up to the hype. This is why day one of the Madness is almost always one of the best days of the year. Yesterday was no exception. An incredible day for basketball fans everywhere. Well, almost everywhere. Unless, of course, you're a member of the BBN, Big Blue Nation. Unless, of course, you are in Lex Vegas right now. If you're listening in Lexington right now, you're probably also trying to log onto a message board to vent and rage. Except you can't because the BBN are crashing the BBN message boards. And they better get them back up quickly because the next step for the BBN is taking to the streets with pitchforks and torches. If you're trying to get into a Kentucky message board right now and you can't, let me help you out. They're coming for Cal. They're blaming Cal. They're done with Cal. And I'm not really sure that Cal is going to be able to win the BBN back after that. Like, again, as a good friend hit me with the second that game ended, that was a wild jungle karma result because both the coaches, Greg Campy and John Calipari, came on this week and they both crushed their respective interviews. And then Campy and Oakland crushed the Big Blue Nation's Big Blue Dreams. Because while they were a very young team, Kentucky was talented as hell. Cal said during his interview this week on this show, his team was built for Marsh. He said it. Chalk and I were talking before the tournament and before that interview, and I said, man, I love Kentucky's talent. Love it. It's young, but I love it. But if they don't make it out of the first weekend once again, BBN is going to go absolutely nuclear. The thing is, I meant if they didn't get out of the first weekend, not if they didn't get out of the first round. Yet here we are. Here the bleep we are, and the BBN is losing their collective bleep. Big Blue Nation, this time, I cannot tell you that you're wrong to feel that way. Now, if you heard my conversation with John Calipari this week, you know how I feel about the man. You know how far he and I go back. You know I defend him at pretty much every single turn. You know his players absolutely love him and that he sends boatloads of them to the NBA and they make a bleep ton of cash. All still true. But there is no getting around this. There is no defending this. And taking nothing away from Oakland, which sure as hell earned it and deserves it, and I'll get to them in a minute. But I did say, if Kentucky does not get out of the first weekend, it would be catastrophic for Cal. And frankly, it is. One tournament win in 4 years is not going to get it done at UK, regardless of what you've done prior. Hell, because of what you've done prior. They lost to a team that had never even won a game in the NCAA tournament. This, after losing to a 15th seed a couple of years back, this was a team with so much talent and expectations were so high, and yet they did not win a single postseason game this year. They went out in the first round of the SEC tourney and then in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So what I'm getting at is this. I so badly want to defend my dude, but I can't. Now, I'm not calling for his head. I'm not calling for him to be fired or bought out. But what I typically do in this situation is tell you Kentucky fans, calm the hell down, and I remind you of what this dude has accomplished and what it was like before he arrived there. Except I'm not this time. I can't. Not after another stunning first-round exit. I mean, that loss is an abject disaster for Kentucky fan and Kentucky coach and the entire BBN. And I'm not going to tell you otherwise. An abject disaster for you. But a classic madness for the rest of us because that game was incredible. And as much as I feel for my guy Cal right now, and I do, I was so hyped to see Greg Campy get the biggest win of his epic career in Oakland. Oakland fan, where you at right now? Oakland fan, how you living? And no, I don't mean Frisco fan. This is not a shout out to the Bay, Frisco fan. This is not about you. This is not about you, Frisco fan. We're not talking about. I know you think everything is about you, Frisco fan. That's part of why you're a Frisco fan, and it's hella annoying. You think everything's about you, Frisco fan. It's not. It's not. It's not about you. It's not about you at all. I'm talking about Oakland. Not you, Frisco fan. We're not talking about Frisco fan. We're talking about Michigan man. I'm talking about the Oakland Golden Grizzlies out of Rochester, Michigan. Not Crapchester. Rochester. I know it's all confusing. If you heard Campy on the show earlier this week, then you know all about these guys. And you know he's been the head coach in Oakland, not Frisco, Oakland, for 40 years. 40!
40!
Which is crazy enough. But even crazier that this is now the first time in those four decades that he will advance past the round of 64 at the NCAA tournament. That's what the madness is all about. But whatever you do, you can recognize the madness. Just do not call these dudes Cinderellas. Because my man, Jack Golke, is not having any of it. And my man, Jack Golke, is the breakout star of the tournament so far. I mean, this dude is something else. A 24-year-old grad student in his sixth year of college hoops. Sixth year of college hoops, but his first year at Oakland, not Frisco, Oakland, and not just his first year at Oakland, but his first year of Division I ball. But by far the wildest thing about this dude is, and that to me is all crazy, first year Division I ball, and he shows up on that stage and is a laser. But then again, that's what he is. A laser. He only jacks threes. Exclusively. All he does is jack threes. He's a volume hoister. Dude has attempted 355 field goals this season. 347 of them have been from beyond the arc. 98% of his shots are three-point attempts. It's incredible. It's like, if he's inside that line, first of all, he would never be inside the line. But if he's inside the line, you know he's looking at his teammates like, why are you throwing me the ball here? What am I supposed to do it? You take it. Last night, he took 20 shots. 100% of them were threes. 50% of them went down. And it all happened off the bench. And if that weren't epic enough, he then took the opportunity in his post-game interview to rip the mic, look directly into the camera, and let America know that Oakland is no Cinderella. Here he was with his coach and Evan Washburn on CBS.
All right, we're going to enjoy about 45 minutes of this. Now, we're going to get ready because we got a chance of a lifetime. It just, this isn't the end of it, you know. This is not the end of it. We've got more, and the only way we're going to win Saturday is to stay focused and take them one at a time. We're going to do that.
Coach, Jack, we appreciate the show, guys. Go enjoy it.
Appreciate it. We're not a Cinderella.
Hell yes. Hell yes to both. I love how Greg Campy handled that. I mean, that guy, he's not like this. Because he's a damn good coach and he's 40 years in, but he could have been so in awe of the whole thing and so blown away by the whole thing, but he was locked. He was so focused. Like, this is amazing. I couldn't be more happy for the players, the fans, the school, the community. And we will be happy for 45 minutes. Then it's back to work. We have a job to do. And then when Evan Washburn thanks them for the show, Golke rips the mic and says, we are not a Cinderella. Love that. Because the fact of the matter is, that win was the textbook definition of a Cinderella. but they don't think like a Cinderella. They don't play like a Cinderella. They don't act like a Cinderella, and they just beat the hell out of a blue blood. So if they say they're no Cinderella, then who the hell am I to argue with it? Especially after he elaborated on that take at the podium and gave this incredible explanation.
Obviously, we come in, we're the underdog by all measures, but as a player, you can't think that way. You got to go out there and you got to think that you have the same talent level as them. I know they have draft picks, and I know I'm not going to the NBA, but I know on any given night I can compete with those type of guys, and our team can compete with those type of guys. And that's why I was so confident going into it, and that's why I say we're not a Cinderella, because when we play our A game, we can be the best team on the floor.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anybody? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Hell yes. How do you not love that guy? And can we keep in mind, he's in his sixth year and his first year of Division I ball. What a great answer. And there's no doubt what he just said is true. Because last night we saw their A game. And last night they were the best team on the floor. Even though the other team on the floor was the Kentucky Wildcats with a couple of lottery picks. And that's the part that the BBN cannot accept. And I get that it's not acceptable. You know why? It's unacceptable. And as pumped as I am for Campy, I do hurt for Cal. Because I know the heat that's coming. I mean, he can handle it, especially with that $33 million buyout. I just hate for him to go out that way, if that's how he goes out. And while I never thought that I would ever say this about Cal, it's fair to ask, is he going to survive this? He did an incredible job of rebuilding that monster, but he also has to feed that monster. And unfortunately, that's just no longer happening, not with regularity. In fact, not really much at all. And just pulling the best young talent in the nation and routinely sending them to the association is not enough if you're not winning tournament games along the way. In fact, just pulling the best young talent in the nation might not even be the best strategy anymore. He himself admitted it. Everybody is getting older. And he said one of the problems after the game is our young guys didn't get it done. Pointing the finger also is also not a good thing. Not a good look. I love Cal. I hope that Cal survives this. But he's got a problem. He's got a big problem right now. And BBN is beside themselves. And I get why they are. I'm not talking you off that. Are you craving some protein after a good workout? Of course. This time, though, don't make a shake or eat a bar. Grab a bag of beef jerky from Old Trapper. Old Trapper beef jerky is tasty and tender. It's made with real strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a wood fire, and it goes wherever you go. To the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? He is Sam Blum. Sam, it's good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you, Sam. So needless to say, Shohei, arguably the greatest player the sport has ever seen, with the biggest contract the sport has ever seen, almost the biggest contract any sport has ever seen, starts his Dodger tenure with that bombshell gambling scandal swirling all around him. We'll get into it, but can you share what is the latest regarding this enormous story as you see it?
I mean, you know, it's so interesting because it feels like there are multiple different, you know, paths this really could go. I mean, it could go in the direction that Shohei has some sort of culpability, you know, serious culpability. That, you know, and I don't want to speculate on how involved he may or may not be. You know, I think that, you know, last night ESPN reported that, you know, that the authorities kind of were involved now, at least on the, you know, on Ipe's front, investigating the, you know, alleged massive theft, as they, you know, as they coined it. I mean, What's happening next, I think, is at some point Shohei Ohtani is going to have to address this. I mean, you know, the Dodgers come back from Korea. They have a game on Sunday against the Angels, an exhibition game. You know, sometime this week, I think he's going to have to say something. I understand that he doesn't have an interpreter at the moment. I think what gets lost in this to some extent is just how much he relied on Ipe for pretty much every single thing. You know, as it was reported yesterday that he didn't even know that this was going to be happening until Ipe went in front of the clubhouse, you know, in Korea after that first game against the Padres and basically said he had a gambling addiction. So it's I think right now there's just so much out there. But what needs to happen next is that Shohei needs to address this. I don't think he could just keep going and, you know, batting in the lineup every day and not talk about it. The Dodgers escorted him out of the clubhouse the other night. Now that he's coming back home, I think this needs to be addressed at some point fairly soon.
We were talking to Sam Blum. You know, Sam, to that point that Shohei did not know it until Ipe got in front of the team and he brought it up or he addressed it. I mean, knowing these two the way you do, and you covered them with the Angels and you saw them interact, you know how close they are. Does that seem feasible to you that Shohei would not know that?
My perception of it would be no. That doesn't make sense to me. But at the same time, I would say that, you know, I think with any addiction, you know, you don't always know what people are dealing with or what they're going through. I think it's possible he might not have understood the extent to which I would have a hard time believing that he had no idea that Ipe was, like, into sports betting or gambling of some kind. That's just, even just, you know, from what I understand, like, this wasn't, you know, necessarily like totally a secret that he would be, you know, better. But I don't think anybody would know that he's, you know, that deep into debt. And I don't even know how someone could get that much in debt if they're only an interpreter. So it's to me, there's so much more to the story that needs to come out. I think it would be irresponsible for me to say that, you know, exactly what I think is the case here. But I would have a hard time believing that Shohei is completely unaware of, you know, the way that his interpreter operated. I mean, they were together every single day of the year. You know, they were together constantly. He was so much more than an interpreter for him. So, you know, even just on the field, I think for Ohtani, if, you know, assuming that he is kind of completely, you know, awash from this and not necessarily directly involved, if he's just going about his day as a baseball player, you know, not having Ipe there is a big loss for him. And I think that he played a role that translated to the way he performed on the field. So there's a lot of elements to the story.
Sam Blum joining us. You know, Sam, one more thing. I want to go back to what you just said. This is not a hot take factory. I'm not like the court of public opinion or the court of social media. I'm not rushing to any judgment. I'm more like you. But you just said something pretty interesting. How does a guy that was making reportedly 300 to 500 grand a year get $4.5 million in debt in gambling? Like, I don't know how that industry works well enough to know that somebody would front him that amount of money. But if you make that kind of money, how do you get that deep in debt? Do you have any idea?
I mean, this is just me speculating and guessing to some extent. Is, you know, I mean, if this bookmaker knew that he had Shohei Ohtani there to help him, you know, to pay stuff off, I mean, that's a reason to extend the credit to some extent. But that would be my best guess. You know, there's no other real explanation why that he can get that deep in. I mean, I would have a hard time believing he's worth the amount of money that he's lost. So, yeah, I agree with you that it just doesn't really add up. And it'll be interesting to see what more comes out from that. But like I said, if I had to guess, I think it's that this bookmaker knew that there was a direct connection with Ipe and Ohtani.
So, but, Sam, you know, I agree with you.
There's more facts that need to come out.
I would agree with you. Sam Blum joining us. Sam, what about the fact that he completely changed his story a day later? So, first of all, I don't understand why Team Shohei let Ipe go out there and talk to ESPN. That obviously backfired. He tells a story on Tuesday. He tells a completely different story on Wednesday. What happened during those 24 hours? How can we have two totally different stories?
It's a great question. I mean, again, this is just, you know, me, my understanding of these guys, less my understanding of this exact situation, which I think there's so much more reporting and facts and investigations that need to come out about it. You know, I mean, it's possible that, you know, there was being in this world enough, you understand how cultivated everything that relates to Shohei Ohtani is. There's no way, I would have a hard time believing that Ipe would have even spoken to the media, to ESPN without, you know, an understanding from CAA or from Nezbolelo, Shohei's agent, or just somebody, whether that was Ohtani's lawyer. Like, they're very careful about every single public, you know, comment that's made related to Shohei Ohtani. So I don't think Ipe's going out there and saying what he said without, you know, at least like some sort of understanding. I don't know. What I would like to know is if the story changed because something happened after that interview where they realized there would be more legal culpability with his explanation, or, you know, if it was a situation where that Ipe spoke out of turn and said things he shouldn't have, and then they went back and told him, he needed to change his story, or they changed it for him. It's really odd. But, yeah, when somebody changes a story like that, I tend to believe more of the first version of it. But, I it's just me and my personal belief on this, and less of me, like, saying this is the information that I know concretely, because it's just at this point we're not there yet.
You know, Sam Blum joining us. I think what's happening here, you and I are having a conversation, and we're just speculating, and we're trying to speculate responsibly. I understand that. You know, what about that notion that whatever gambling was going on, there was no gambling on baseball? Now, again, this is just an opinion and speculation, but if you're $4.5 million in debt and you're chasing hard and you're desperate, does it seem logical to you that you would not bet on the thing that you know best, on the thing that you may even have some inside information on? Do you buy that part of it?
You know, that's the one part of the story that's been consistent on this. I agree with you, though, that if there were, I mean, it makes some sense. What you're saying makes some sense. But to me, I've dealt with Ipe quite a bit. Like, I never knew him to be, like, a seriously irresponsible or rude or wrong, like a liar, to be honest with you. So that's why, like I said, I tend to believe the first version of the story to some extent. But I don't know on that one. I hear what you're saying. I tend to see some value in it, but that's the one part of the story that hasn't changed. So for now, I guess I'll you know, defer to them. But if there needs, I think MLB needs to investigate this. I don't know why they haven't come out and said they're not investigating it. You know, Evan Dreller, a great reporter on this, he tweeted that, and I totally agree. I mean, this MLB needs to be proactive on this. They can't just, you know, pray it goes away because it's the most marketable, best player in the sport. Like, this, you know, you cannot have gambling, you know, infest this game. It's just there are reasons why athletes get suspended for as long as they do when it relates to gambling. And, you know, if there was betting on baseball, and if that's something that occurred, there needs to be serious repercussions for that, because that can totally destroy the integrity of the sport.
That's why it's been a long time, but that's the argument. That's why Pete Rose never got near the game ever again, for that very reason.
Yeah.
Because it rips at the fabric of the sport, the integrity of the game. Because if everybody watching it doesn't know that what they're seeing is legit, and they think that it's, you know, fixed, then that destroys everything. I was going to ask you, it seems pretty self-evident, but I'll just pose the question: why isn't Major League Baseball investigating this? Are they? And if they're not, why aren't they? Because they don't want to know the answers?
Their public reason would be that, I mean, there's, you know, a federal investigation of some kind happening with this bookmaker, and that they wouldn't want to interfere with that. That's what I would imagine. I just think that the more underlying obvious answer here is that, you know, they don't want to punish the guy. I mean, if they punish him, it's this has been the best story in baseball, is Ohtani going to the Dodgers and, you know, getting married and all these great things. And he's, you know, they just went to they spent all this time, you know, promoting the Seoul series in Korea and, you know, trying to make baseball more global, and then this just ruins all of it. So I think the less Ohtani's fingerprints are on it, the better it is for Major League Baseball. But I don't want to go full conspiracy theory and say that they're, you know, covering something up or hiding something. I just think that they need to be proactive and say, we're going to investigate this, and we're going to, you know, treat Ohtani like any other player who's under investigation. Because at the end of the day, his bank account paid off in a legal bookie. I mean, that's just beginning, middle, and end of it. I don't think there's any dispute of that fact. So that this needs to be addressed in some way.
Sam, before you go, what about that point? You're right. Like, the money came from his account and went into an illegal book, and yet they would allege that there was a, quote, massive theft. Are we to assume that Ipe hacked into Shohei's account and Shohei didn't know? The money moved from his account. How are they going to explain that?
You know, just knowing these guys, and this isn't like, again, this is more just context from knowing them. You know, Ipe does everything for Shohei. It wouldn't completely shock me if he had some access to his finances. That's just that's the one thing I can think of. But I mean,
but
I
then it wouldn't be a theft. But it wouldn't be a it could be a theft. I know what you're saying. I mean, I was going to say,
yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you. It wouldn't be a theft. He just would have access, and he did everything for him, or he went in and stole the money.
it's. Like, that is a theft if you're just going in and...
Right.
I mean,
that is theft. You're right.
I think it's just like... I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, I tend to believe Ipe's first version of this, which was that knowing these guys' relationship, Ipe would have gotten into serious trouble and Shohei helped him out, and probably not realizing to the extent to which, you know, this was illegal and, you know, potentially, you know, serious as it is. But again, I think there's so much more that needs to come out about this, and I'm looking forward to, you know, to knowing more of the facts of this, because right now, Major League Baseball and Shohei Ohtani and even Ipe are leaving a void right now in terms of information, and I think they need to help fill that void.
You've said it a couple of times. I agree with you. I tend to believe the first version of the story, and then for whatever reason, whatever came out, whatever that triggered, it triggered enough that, oh, man, this is not good. This is not good for us. This is not what we wanted to come out, or this is not playing the way we thought they would play. Whatever happened, something happened, and then the story changed. So I'm with you. I tend to agree that the first version is probably the most accurate version. Sam Blum joining us. Sam, I appreciate that. I know that's because we don't know, because we're not saying anything. We can only do so much with that, but that conversation helped too. So great to have you on the show, man. Thank you very much.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Jim.
So let me tell you about something. The other day I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around. It's amazing. It's something different for fresh breath. It is an incredible product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is a game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else and you're making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't, because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. It's clinically tested against the toughest offenders, even garlic and onions. You just pop two or three in your mouth, suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. The product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth. It then goes right down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. You're going to like having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath, or you get your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you're going to want it, but they will. They've got free shipping if you order three packs or more, and trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping. Go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com. Right now, you'll get 15% off when you use the promo code ROME. Zelmins.com. You do have to use the code ROME to get your 15% savings, ROME. As I mentioned, a really, really rough morning for the PBN. No way around it. But they weren't the only Blue Bloods who had a harrowing experience yesterday, because Jayhawk Nation very nearly had a total disaster of their own to process today. Never ideal when Kansas needs to get bailed out of a first-round game with a 13 seed by the ref show. And you all know I hate talking about the ref show, and I hate blaming wins or losses on the ref show. And I'm not saying the ref show is the entire reason Kansas beat Samford last night, but they were a big reason, because they only totally and completely butchered the hell out of the biggest call of the game on the biggest play of the game. They ruined what might have been the best and cleanest chase down block I've seen in the tournament. This might be the single greatest and cleanest chase down block since Le Cap ran down Andre Iguodala in the 2016 finals. And that pretty much is the standard. I mean, no joke, I'm serious. If you didn't stay up late enough to see this play from Sanford's AJ State McCray, then you need to go watch it right now. It was inside the final 20 seconds of that game. Kansas up by one. Nick Timberlake had a free breakaway to a dunk. Or so he thought, and so it seemed.
90-89. Kansas gets the ball in. Ahead to Timberlake on the run.
It's a block. Did they call a foul?
He went for the jam. Should have gone for the layup. Hit the deck hard.
I got to see the replay. That, was that clean? I got to see the replay, though. That was clean. That, I don't know if there was a foul right there. That is an incredible play. Wow. Man. With the game on the line, that is an incredible block that just got taken away from Samford.
Gene Steratore, do you agree with us?
I do agree with you guys. It's a great block by Samford right there.
First of all, Gene Steratore has never been wrong. about anything in life. Football, basketball, life. Gene is always right. There's so many things about that block. So many amazing things about that block. First of all, the block. The block itself. I really don't know that I've ever seen a cleaner block on a dunk. And I definitely know that I've never seen a cleaner block that was called a foul. It was so obviously not a foul that Brendan Haywood called it out immediately in real time. And props for that. Alvy, would you mind spinning that back so we can hear it?
90-89. Kansas gets the ball in. Ahead to Timberlake on the run.
It's a block.
And he missed the shot.
Did they call a foul?
He called it. It's a block. It's a block. Did they call a foul? Yes, somehow they did call a foul. Even though we could pretty much tell, all of us, immediately, that that was not a foul. We didn't need the slow-mo. We didn't need any other angle. The slow-mo, if anything, made it worse. The slow-mo made it perfectly clear that it was one of the best clutch blocks in the history of the tournament. And obviously not a foul. And that's a brutal look considering it was essentially the most critical play of the game. Samford was that close, and they know it. And their head coach, Bucky McMillan, laid it all out on the podium afterwards. He knows how close they were and how badly they just got jammed.
I have seen the play. I thought AJ made an incredible play on it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not faulting the call. You know, some people can see it different ways. But I was really proud of our guys' ability to go make a play. And at the end of the day, you know, AJ's recovery there, if there is no whistle, I'm not blaming the whistle, but if there's no whistle, we're going to have a numbers advantage going the other way to advance to round two. That's how close the game was.
He's not wrong, but he is blaming the whistle a little bit. Coach kind of pulled a to Eric in Orlando's in a single clip right there. He's not faulting the call. He's faulting the call. He's not blaming the whistle. He's blaming the whistle. And I'm not blaming the dude either. That is a devastating and heartbreaking way to lose that particular game. Any game, but especially a tournament game where Samford has Kansas on the ropes. Samford deserved a hell of a lot better. But at least nobody can say they choked, which is what everybody is saying about Steve Alford and Nevada. You know, they'll say that when you blow a 17-point lead with 7.5 minutes to go. That'll happen when you have a 99.5% win probability rate and you set that on fire and you do not finish. That'll happen when you end an NCAA tournament game on the wrong end of a 24-4 run. That'll happen when Steve Alford's on your bench. Nevada had a 17-point lead with over 7 minutes left in a tournament game and then knocked in two buckets the rest of the game. Dayton scored those 24 points on their last 11 possessions. Meanwhile, Nevada scored just 4 points total in the last 7-plus minutes. I mean, damn, Steve, what were you telling your team in the huddle? Don't play D, the game's over. We're good. You got this. Don't foul. Don't put your hands up. In fact, don't even play defense. We're good. It's over. Let's focus on the next game. I mean, it was brutal. It's the brutality of March Madness, and that's not even my take. That's Alford's take.
It's the brutality of March Madness. We say that all the time, and we just really, really poor offense the last 7 minutes and very, very poor defense, and when you do that on this stage, you're probably not going to win very many games.
You know what, dude? What do you mean we say that all the time? You say that all the time. It's the brutality of March Madness? No, it's the brutality of you, my dude. That happened under your watch, your program, your 17-point lead. Have fun living with that the rest of your life. But I do agree with you. Definitely tough to win tournament games when you completely switch off and get curb stomped on both ends of the floor in the last 7 minutes. Nevada might have proven last night that it's actually impossible to win a tournament game if you get vaporized on both ends for the last 7 minutes. Tough scene for Alford. He has not won a tournament game since year three at UCLA back in 2017. But at least somehow, lucky for him, he still has a job this morning, unlike my guy, Dan Munson. Yes, clones, I know. If you're getting ready for work right now, you're probably not Dan Munson. And that's painful for me to say because I wanted this lame duck, this dead man walking, this walking soundbite to keep winning. I want this guy to win that game. I want this guy to win the whole damn tournament. And once again, that's coming from a gaucho who is supposed to hate the beach. I got to say, it's a lot easier to hate the beach now that Dan Munson is gone. Not because of that, but because AD Bobby Smitherin is still there. I guess that's the upside for Munson, because if he had somehow beaten Arizona, Smitherin would have just slithered right on in and tried to snatch the credit anyway, like the snake that he is. At least Munson doesn't have to work for that dude anymore. So I guess there is some upside to the fact that he no longer has that job. He no longer has to worry about that snake. Man, I can't get over this. I'll never get over this. The AD at the beach really bleep canned his coach. And then his bleep canned coach led his team to a Big West championship and a tournament auto bid. And then that same AD tried to raise his hand and say, hey, yeah, that was me. That was all me. Bring me the credit. Bring me the credit, and I'm going to take it anyway, whether you do or don't. You're welcome. This dude had the brass set, the unmitigated call, to actually run to the Associated Press this week and say, quote, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked. He said that his decision to fire his coach when he did was intentional and a way and an attempt to inspire his team to play up, and it worked. Yo, Smitherin, you gonna take any credit for that loss yesterday too? Or are you just gonna show up and take credit when the guy you fired has massive success? I guess that's just what Alford would call the brutality of March Madness. Let's talk for a minute about O'Reilly Auto Parts, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road and offering helpful service and parts knowledge that you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They have thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. And they can also test your battery for free. If it needs to be replaced, they will help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. When you need a specialty tool to finish the job, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and ask about their loaner tool program. Simply pay a refundable deposit and borrow the right tool, then get your deposit back when it's returned. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. The NCAA tournament's back. We were all over it. Now we're number one. The shock and the awe and the upsets and the energy, all of it, it's all back. And just importantly, so is the big head, the return of James Kelly. He came out of hiding. He picked five games for you clones yesterday and had a winning day one. He's back to do it again right now. Head, how you living? And how did the first official day of the tournament treat you?
It went good. Winning day.
It went well.
It went well. My bad. Started off bad there, but it went well. Yep. Winning day. Made some money, but had I been a chalky...
Uh-oh. Where are you, dude? There you go, Alvy. That couldn't have started worse.
Yo.
Oh, there you are. Welcome back, dude.
That's not good.
That's not well. That's not good. Where'd you go?
I don't know.
Were you washing a dog, dude?
Yeah, I could be. It's a nice day out here.
Were you wrestling a steer?
Yes, that's coming up too as well.
Okay.
About that time of year.
So take me back. So how did day one go? You were not a chalky little steer?
I was not a chalky little bitch. I should have been. because it could have gone a lot better. But, you know, McNeese State cost me some money, but it's all right, you know.
Well, that's how that would go. When you disrespect them and butcher their name like that, of course.
Yeah, man, they don't deserve it. I feel that way. I think Will Wade should maybe start paying players again, allegedly.
At least it's not getting personal. At least not getting down in the
not
mud.
At all. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so what you're trying to do is spin this into they didn't earn the right to be called by their proper name, so it's okay that you butchered their name?
Absolutely, 100%.
See, I'm helping you make a better joke.
Thank you.
All right, so why don't we get into it? That was yesterday. Always forward, never back. Let's run it back again or start afresh. Why don't we start with New Mexico and Clemson? New Mexico, at last check, a 2.5-point favorite. Who do you like here? How are you going to play that game? We're only doing 5. Make it count, Head.
Yeah, a little worried here because everyone loves Richard Pitino's Lobos, but I will take the 11th seed in the West, New Mexico, and now 1.5 you could get. So I'm going to lay that 1.5 here. Junior Pitino has
down to 1.5.
Down to 1.5, yeah. Just dropped.
They do love him.
Yes.
And them.
Yes, they do. Big time. Because he's got a talented team, and they could score the basketball. Eddie House and Jamal Mashburn's kids are the team's leading scorers, if you want to feel a little old there. But they also have 2 other dudes who can score in double figures. They play fast.
Isn't that wild? Eddie House and Jamal Mashburn's kids are the leading scorers there. The hell is that?
It seems like yesterday I was watching Mashburn in the 93 tournament tear it up, and now his kid's there. 30-some years
House later. House, too, man, just jacking it up.
Oh, yeah, the Heatles. House.
The Heatles. Yeah. Go ahead, dude.
With those 2 guys, they got 2 other guys who can score in double figures. They play fast, and unlike Pop's team at St. John's, they are athletic, and it's really enjoyable to watch.
What are you waiting on? Are you gone? Are
Alvin?
You
Alan?
I think they're unathletic.
Thank you.
They move well laterally. I don't think they're going to pick it up in next week. I think they're slow laterally. I mean, Sean Conway gives you everything he can. He's slow laterally. About 5 guys are slow laterally. Even the Celtics, when we lost, I've enjoyed every minute being a Boston Celtic coach. Didn't like the fact that we lost in that following year.
James.
Alvin
had, you should say yes, not yeah. You're worse than my kids. James, Alvin has a message that he wanted me to share with you.
What's that?
Your cuts don't work. Stop doing that. Stop.
I want to produce the show. Yeah.
Stop. Telling Alan
what
wait,
to
he's
do?
Gonna, he's going
to
tell him. Look, here he comes. Here he comes. Here comes Alan.
Yeah.
So
hello, Alan.
When we do these long cuts for these segments, they don't work.
Oh, I think they do.
No, but
great.
When you set me up like that, it's fine if they're the short ones, but these long ones, they don't work.
Well, can't you cut them?
Can't you cut them? Alvin, he just said, can't you cut them? Why don't you come back and answer that too, Alan? He's coming back.
So what you're saying, more or less audio? Less audio, right?
Good one, dude. Half the time you don't even get the jokes off, gets wasted.
Say that again, Alvin.
This is too much inside baseball. I'll go back.
Oh, this is a disaster. It's great.
This is a disaster, dude. You know how bad it is? You know how bad it is if Alan is willing to leave his spot and go on the air?
Dude, really
bad. To set you straight? Really bad, dude.
Yeah.
Really bad.
He's pissed, too. He's going to hit me up in a minute.
Oh, no, he is pissed. Yeah. The second you're off the air, you're going to hear from him, dude. All right, so did we actually finish that pick?
No, not yet. The Lobos move their feet, unlike St. John's. They play good defense. One concern, their shooting is streaky in Clemson. They have wins over some big-time schools on their resume, North Carolina and Alabama. They also are very, very good on the glass, but let's go with the New Mexico Lobos minus 1.5.
All right, I can't wait to see what you ask him to do that's out of line that he does not do. We're only 1 game in. James Madison v. Wisconsin. Now, if you want to play the jungle karma angle, Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard was on yesterday, but if you like James Madison and you're looking for value, you certainly can get that too. What is the number and how are you playing that game?
Sorry, I have to go against the jungle caramel here and ride with the Dukes of James
jungle
Madison
caramel.
And take the 5.5 points. They're good. They've lost 3 games all season and beat Michigan State. Terrence Edwards was the Sun Belt Player of the Year. He averages 17-4 and 3.5. TJ Bickerstaff is a stud big. Yes, he's part of the Bickerstaff family, and I'm sure his uncle won't be happy that I'm betting on him and his team, but I have to. They could shoot the basketball. They shoot 36.
I don't think he minds the bet. I just think he doesn't like his kids and wife being threatened by bettors.
Yeah, that's probably not good either. So TJ better win is my thought, right?
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
Stick to the pick.
Okay. He could shoot. They could shoot 36.5% from distance. And Wisconsin's biggest weakness is guarding the three-point line. They rank 343rd in the country in 3D. And leading up to the Big Ten tournament, Wisconsin was blowing more gas than Poulter, losing eight of his last 11.
I swear, I was just going to say, is there no way for you to mix in a Poulter blast here? Because I knew it had nothing to do with anything.
Alan had that ready.
That's incredible. Yeah. I literally was going to jump in the middle of that because it was so straight and say, Head, you can't mix in Poulter? And then you did.
I know. Blowing more gas. See? Alan got that one. You want to get back on the mic, Alan, or no? Let's go with James Madison.
Wow, plus five, dude, you did not.
Those are the short ones, James. The short ones are fine.
Less. Okay.
I cannot believe you hit him with, hey, yo, Alan, after he did what you asked him. Do you want to get back on the mic for that one?
Sorry, this is too fun. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Are you having fun?
I'm having a great time.
Are you having fun, Head?
Thanks for having me back.
Are you having fun, Head?
Yes, I am.
I'm not.
Yep.
As long as you're having fun, Head, that's great. Just know that me, the host, I'm not.
Yeah, probably the clones aren't either.
And then the audience also is not having fun. And don't point to three imbeciles that hit you up on the X who say, oh, dude, that was incredible. Three imbeciles does not make it fun, Head.
Blame Alan.
No, I'm going to blame you, dude.
Thank you, Alan, doing
his job. All right, did you finish your pick on that?
Yeah, I did. Yep, James Madison, +5.5.
Okay, speaking of karma. Mm-hmm. Well, this thing's just moving along. Speaking of karma, St. Mary's head coach, Randy Bennett, was on not long ago. He always is this time of year. I've got nothing but respect for him and that St. Mary's program. I think it's always, always underappreciated. I like them. I like him. The question is, do you like them? Do you like them enough to lay what is now 6 right now?
Now 5.5.
Yeah, it's moving around.
Yes, I don't like that because I do like St. Mary's, but I'm going to go with Bryce Drew and his Antelopes and the 5.5 points. I'll take them. This is the best team Bryce has had there, and it's led by Tyon Grant Foster, the WAC Player of the Year. This guy's story is amazing.
That's whack. Tourette's, man.
That's whack. See, he had that one ready. He's great, and he has help in Ray
Harrison.
Because it
was short, dude. That's why he had it ready. Short. Are you listening?
I got you. Okay. His help, Ray Harrison, he was a leading scorer from a season ago. He's great. Now, size can give them problems. They've out-rebounded opponents by 5 rebounds a game, but they haven't seen a team like St. Mary's on the glass.
St. Mary's.
That was a short one, too. Bartovic.
See?
Yes.
See? Short is good.
That is good. Anyways, the Gales and their rebounding, 3rd-best offensive and 2nd-best defensive rebounding team in the country, so that battle will be interesting, but only 4 of 362 squads play slower than St. Mary's does, and they are ass at the charity stripe. They are 323rd in the country in free throw percentage. Grand Canyon ranks 75th. I like that for a late cover. I'm taking the 5.5 points in Grand Canyon.
You know what? I have to admit, you made a pretty persuasive argument right there. I already hit St. Mary's Gales. But those metrics that you lay out there are pretty scary. I'll give you that. All right, so you're obviously not playing the role of chalky little bitch today.
Mm-hmm.
What about UAB and San Diego State? UAB is getting 6.5. Do you want them and the points as well? Because you are taking the points today.
Yes, sir, I do. I'm taking UAB and the 6.5 points. Yes, you can get. The Blazers are playing their best basketball right now, and the Aztecs really aren't. UAB won all 3 of their AAC tournament games by double digits. They can score points and having 4 dudes who average more than 10 points a game. And a lot of their offense comes by hitting the offensive glass, getting the line, and attacking the rim, which is great considering the Aztecs don't have a rim protector this season. Other things I love, again, the Aztecs play slow, and yes, Brian Dutcher led his team to the title game a year ago, but the dude also didn't win a tournament game until last season as well. Add the fact that his team struggles to shoot the ball from deep. Let's go with the Blazers here. +6.5.
All right. So, again, taking the points. One more, Head. Houston is a monster. We know this. They're a threat to win it all. We know that. They'll obviously handle Longwood tonight. But the question is not whether or not they will handle Longwood, because they will. The question is, will they cover? And right now, Longwood is getting a nice, fat 24. You have taken the points, Head, in 3 of the first 4 games. Do you want them here as well?
Okay, Alan, long soundbite coming up in a minute here. I'll let you get prepared here. Yes, I do, Jim.
Did he not just spend 5 minutes telling you that they don't work?
But this one's going to be funny, I promise. It's going to be really funny.
Oh, yeah. So we should take your word for it because you know funny.
I think so.
Yeah. No, dude, you don't know funny. Three imbeciles think you know funny, and you. Four imbeciles think you know funny.
Those are good numbers. I'll take them.
They're not funny. You're not funny. Go ahead.
Okay. I'll take the 24 points and the Longwood Lancers here. Yeah, they are. They're probably the best 16 seed in the tournament, but for real, what a month for Longwood, right? First, they get mentioned in Jason Kelsey's retirement presser, and then they win the Big South tournament as a 5 seed and qualified for the NCAA tournament.
I won't forget Nick Foles having the game of his life on the biggest stage possible. And the biggest on the team going up to Doug Peterson and asking for the Philly special. And Doug Peterson having the biggest balls in the stadium to say, yeah, let's do it.
That was a good one, right?
I guess Albie allowed it. Albie, okay. Why did you play that? It's a pleasure being here. No, Albie, get your ass back over there one more time. I'm actually going to side with you on this, James.
Okay.
Albie, what did you just say to me?
Why did we play that?
No, why did you play it, Albie? You're the one who fired play.
Fair enough. James, why did I play that?
You must have a reason for playing it, Albie. You don't play things you don't want to play.
Yeah.
Well, no, he told me he wanted to play it. Can't leave him out to dry.
Why are you playing dumb, Albie? You know why. You know why you played that, and you know why he asked.
I'm going back.
Wow, the two of you knuckleheads. What the hell are you doing to my show, Albie? I can't believe you're letting him drag you into the mud like that.
I love you, Alan.
Longwood, Nick Foles.
Good one.
Beavis, Butthead, the two of you. Come on, man.
Okay.
Give me back my show, Beavis.
Give me back my
show, Butthead. All right, so you're going to go Longwood plus 24.
Yes, I'd like them. They could rebound the ball, which is key against a Kelvin Sampson team that dominates the offensive glass. I like the cover because while Longwood can't shoot the basketball, Houston doesn't really have a bunch of lasers themselves. Get this, Longwood ranks 238th in the country in effective field goal percentage. But Houston is 227th. That doesn't reek national championship to me. Also, pace. Both teams are slow as hell. Boring-ass game, probably. But some action will make
like
it better.
You, dude. Slow as hell and boring-ass and wedging puns that 8-year-olds might find amusing in it.
It's funny stuff. Lancers plus 24. She liked it.
So, do you like them or do you just pick them because they're Longwood?
No, I like them. I don't get the Longwood. It's just the school name. I don't get the
anyway.
Joke.
And yeah. Yesterday you had a few little bonus things on the way out the door. Is there anything else?
No bonuses today. Just 5 straight games.
All right. Well, it was hardly 5 straight games, man. It's so jacked up. It's so convoluted and so messed up. Run them down top to bottom because I guarantee nobody could pick anything right now other than maybe Longwood. Who do you have?
New Mexico -1.5 v. Clemson. James Madison +5.5 v. Wisconsin. Grand Canyon +5.5 v. St. Mary's, UAB +6.5 v. San Diego State, and Longwood Lancers +24 v. Houston.
I mean, respectfully, dude, I feel so much dumber for having done that. I feel
think
like
that
just killed brain cells.
Best segment ever.
No, that was the best segment ever.
I think so.
If by best segment ever, you mean one of the worst that we've done in quite some time, I feel so much dumber for that. So do what you always do. Rush to your phone and wait for Bella B to tell you how awesome you are.
I'm already on it.
All right. Thank you very little or not at all. Let's make some Thank you very little or not at all. Let's at least make some money off that head. Adios. See you. Wow. That was a disaster. You never know what you're going to get. I mean, you have a good idea what you might get. Really bad grammar and some pretty good picks. Even Alvin got involved. Then Alan got dragged down to the level and started
Thank
playing
you, Alan.
Dumb and lied to me. Wow, guys, let's get it together. There are your 5 picks. If you can make any sense of those 5 picks, do what you can with those 5 picks.
All right, we're going to enjoy about 45 minutes of this.
Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Hope you had a great weekend. Tremendous Monday to you. Coming off Selection Sunday, we've got the brackets. Bracket guy, I know you're ready. Let's get it.
Yeah.
There is no chance that I start anywhere other than what I consider to be the most iconic and exhilarating sound in sports. We have ourselves an NCAA tournament bracket. Yeah!
With 32 in the net, fraudulent.
There's always going to be drama when you snub Rick Pitino.
Bitterness does not help.
He sounds pretty bitter. better to me. That's as fraudulent as the net. Matt Norlander.
I'm feeling good. Let's just go. Team me up. I'm ready for anything and everything you got.
I knew it. Bracket guy. I got Long Beach State going to the Elite Eight. Yeah, thanks for that, Seth Greenberg. Very happy for you.
Tiny. I'm confident in the way that I handled it.
They ran him off because he didn't want to compete with Russ. Why, bro? Because you were that good? You're walking around with tiny hands and a tiny brain, but acting like you're Patrick Mahomes. Brad Bronell.
What are you doing talking about the Steelers, man? I'm a Bengals fan. We don't need to be talking about the Steelers.
Yeah, how you feeling about T. Higgins?
Well, I'm not happy about it.
They're not giving him the contract that he wants.
Well, come on, it's Cincinnati now. You know that that's going to be a little harder there than some other places.
God has blessed me with a great career.
Anybody else would have taken this opportunity to gloat, to say bleep you, to spike the ball in the face of the administration, but not this dude.
Who's got it better than us?
Dan Munson.
I mean, how classy.
Jalen Duren, more 7.5 points. Caitlin Clark, more than 0.5 points.
War Alvey being the commencement speaker at all of his kids' continuation addresses.
See, like a fat boy. You know?
I admire that he can be a fat boy. And an elite reliever at the same time.
I am the grizzly bear.
Better give him the save opportunities. Give it to him. Hey, Alvin, how long did ears ban Mr. Sterling?
For life.
When he made the announcement, was it dramatic?
For life.
Was there a laser show, too?
Edwards gets it back!
You just need to remember one thing. Stop, because Ant can't.
That sucked the life out of me. I couldn't even talk to my kids last night. I'm right there next to John Collins.
Alvin, the hell are you doing?
Dude, no.
Oh, boy, that show sure flew by.
My bad, my friend. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the show certainly did fly by, Alvin. If we were done, but we have another hour plus to go.
The Stephen was the jukebox. Made me feel like I was an hour late.
What's going on, Jack?
Thanks, Jimmers. I'm going to talk to you about Tiny Brain.
Trapper. Dude, you're reincarnated. You came back as Jack in Pittsburgh.
MMA guy.
What a glorious day. My man's been resurrected.
I'm Trapper, and you're not.
Cal.
All your listeners, they should understand that I was fired by the New Jersey Nets.
So, got his ass fired by the Nets. Hall of Famer.
More important, how's Jake and Logan?
The intimacy ban has been lifted, and the Olympic Village will be stocked with 300,000 condoms.
Sex with me.
Games wide open. Yeah, something tells me that that's not going to be the only thing that's going to be wide open. Landon Dickerson, what did you throw down for?
Plan on throwing down for a lawnmower. Enjoy cutting some grass. Simple man when it comes to that.
That's going to be your reward. You're going to ride your tractor.
I'm going to ride your tractor. I've never heard of that. Smug much. Did everybody's brain just not go, no, no. That sounds about right. I dropped my phone on my foot yesterday.
Star Shohei Ohtani at the center of a massive gambling
investigation.
I'm going to
go less than
tonight.
2.5 for 500K wire transfers to an illegal bookie. I mean, are you kidding me about this story? What is your beef?
Those idiots who clear their throats and spit a loogie.
Grow a set and scan the items yourself.
Crosswalk jogging in place guy.
Back in parking space guy.
Jera, oh my gosh, time to go the way of old Yeller.
It's my wife again, Jim. Her inability to refill the ice cube trays.
Hey, hit these hard, hit them fast. What's your beef, Troy?
How we doing, Rome?
What did you not understand about...
Tell him no.
Feel badly for my guy Cal because you know the heat is on now.
We're not a Cinderella.
McNeese State cost me some money.
Here he comes. Here comes Alan.
So,
hello, Alan.
When we do these long cuts for these segments, they don't work.
Oh, I think they do.
Wow.
Two of you knuckleheads. What the hell are you doing to my show?
Give me back my
show.
I would have a hard time believing that Shohei is completely unaware of the way that his interpreter operated.
And I apologize, although you wouldn't accept my apology.
Let's have a great, great NCAA tournament.
Paid for by NHTSA.
Thanks, Jim.
And he goes to Wisconsin? What the hell's wrong with him?
No.
Trap, you're back.
Jim, when are you heading back to Eagle River?
WW Bullfin's gasser stat of the day, if you will, Jim. But the Eagles.
Won't. No, I will not.
Good night now! Good night now!